It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
Welcome to On the Front Porch. This is Amy Hadachek with our guest today, author L. Stevens from North Central Kansas. And L., what an honor this is, and so impressive that you have written two novels with a third one on the way. We're so excited about hearing your story and your stories. We'd also like to get a sneak peek into your new book release in a moment. But first, how do you do it all? Wife, mom, kids, helping your husband with his collision and glass shop, and writing two books, and soon a third.
Oh, well, thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me on the show, and I really appreciate the opportunity. The answer to your question, how do I do it all, is sometimes not very well.
We're all human, right?
Right. We have three children. My husband Brian and I have three children, and our oldest is on her own. She's out of college and on her own, and our other two are in high school. And one's a senior and graduates in a few weeks, and the other one's a freshman. And I, when I started writing and decided I was really going to do this, it was about 14 years ago. Wow. And my kids were little, and so I had a lot more time at home. And that was our business was smaller, and it was really just my husband and one employee at the time, and we had a small shop. We've grown exponentially. So anyway, when I first started writing, and decided that it was a thing I was going to do, my children were smaller and I was home more, so I could take the time to learn the business a mm-hmm. little bit. And I had a little bit more time to write when they were sleeping or playing, or, you know, I took my laptop with me places, and that's how I did it to begin with. But now I have to schedule it a little bit more.
Oh.
So now I have certain days that I go to the body shop and help out there. I do a lot of the accounts payable and the HR stuff and that kind of thing. And then I have days that I schedule to be off, and those are the days that I write. I try to stick to that schedule when I'm actively writing, because that's really the only way it's going to get done. And I do have to be pretty regimented with myself on that. So it is a balancing act, and we're all humans who have to prioritize certain things ahead of others, right? So
do you write every morning, or are you a night owl, or how does that work for you?
Well, I used to be a night owl. As I've gotten older, I've found that while I may still be awake at night, I'm not always firing on all cylinders. So I do tend to write in the morning. I have a scheduled amount of time that I write. In the mornings when I'm the freshest, when I have the best ideas and the best motivation to do things like writing. So I do schedule it in the morning. Usually from like 9 to noon or something like that. And then I have the rest of the day then to do all the other day off things I need to do. So,
and that's a really great idea to schedule it in, because I've always heard that if you set an appointment with yourself, you honor your own time just like you would with somebody
right.
else if you were meeting them.
Yeah, and it's very important. It's very important, because that puts the job element into play, and it is really, when you're publishing, it really is a job. So it's very important to set down and schedule those times for yourself.
Sure. So, now, do you use the biggest computer screen or monitor you can find, or do you like to write using pen and paper? I've always heard when we painstakingly or not so painfully manually write things out that it actually takes a different part of our brain putting it on paper. So, but I don't know, typing also uses, of course, you know, yeah. heartfelt element
yeah,
too.
I think it's both. I think it does use a different part of your brain to write by hand, to manually write out pen and paper. I do both. When I'm writing the story, when I'm writing the manuscript, I use a computer. I generally use a laptop. Sometimes I like to switch venues, and I will type on my desktop. But most of the time, I like to have my laptop and sit in my chair and have my dogs around me and and be a little more comfortable. But if I get blocked, or I have a character to plan out, or I need to brainstorm some things, I use pen and paper for that. Because it does activate a more creative part of your brain, I think. So, and in my brain anyway, I can kind of, when I switch to a pen and paper, it's like, okay, now you're just spitting out information and trying to find what you're looking for. And it does help clear it out. A lot of times I'll write character sketches or that kind of thing with a pen and paper, or I'll make summaries for the story, you know, what's going to happen in each chapter, and I'll sketch that out with a pen and paper. And then I'll go back in and type that kind of thing up. But it's a little less daunting, I think, when you have pen and paper in front of you to do that kind of thing. So,
oh, that's a good idea.
How I turned it.
Well, I like that. That's a great idea that you just, you know, then you kind of separate it all, and it's not, like you said, not so daunting, just writing it all on a computer.
Right.
And
yeah.
Elle, how did you decide to write a novel?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question. I always loved reading. I started reading romance novels when I was a young teenager, and I really connected with the romance part of the stories. And then when I got into college, I went to college for English, and I just have an associate's degree in English, but I studied a lot of creative writing in college, took a lot of creative writing classes, and did a lot of that. And then after my youngest child was born, I started talking to a lot of friends who made some friends who liked to write, and it kind of re-inspired me to start writing again.
Hmm.
And that was when I decided that I was going to do it. But if all I ever did was publish one novel, then that would be good, and I would be proud of that, because it's hard. So I started writing then in 2010, and it was a long process and a lot of doing things to learn the business, because it's not just the writing. So
sure,
I started writing fantasy, and then I kind of moved from fantasy to contemporary, because the fantasy just really wasn't a very good fit for the voices of my characters and the way I build my worlds. But
and your characters are amazing. I have read both books. I know you're working on a third. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking more about some of the characters in book one and two. And they're just amazing. I just couldn't put it down. And I'm wondering, are there many distractions, or does the family know when your time is underway? Because I know that famed writer Stephen King, who wrote the horror The Shining, wrote at least some of it when he got away for a while on his own at the famed hotel, the Stanley in Estes Park, Colorado. And they even have a room named after him, the Stephen King Suite 217. So I just wondered, is it hard to write there, or do you sometimes get away, or how does that work?
I am easily distracted by shiny things.
Yeah.
and phone alerts and dogs and things that need done. But I do go on retreats with other writer friends sometimes, but I have found that I don't actually write very well while I'm there. I do a lot of brainstorming and a lot of planning, and I refill my well
yeah.
as far as like feeling like I want to write again, but actually sitting down and working on my manuscript, I do have a hard time doing that when there's a lot of other people around. So I do write best at home when I'm by myself, when I'm home alone, or if I go to, you know, I shut myself in a room or whatever. I do kind of have to have quiet. I don't like a lot of music. I don't like TV or you know, other things going on. If I listen to music, it's usually just music with no lyrics or anything. It's like classical or piano music. And so I don't do well with a lot of distractions.
I don't blame you.
I'm easily distracted.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, my family is very respectful of that. So when I, if I say I'm going to my office to write, especially now that my kids are older, they don't actually care where what I'm doing. So if I say I'm going to my office or my bedroom or something and to sit down and write for a while, then they're all happy to leave me alone.
So leave you alone.
My family's very respectful. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, coming up, author L. Stevens' first and second books actually kept me up till 2 a.m. some nights. I could not put those books down. We're going to hear about those books and how she got ideas for it right after this. Welcome back. Amy Hadachek here on the front porch today with author L. Stevens from North Central Kansas. And to get inspired to write, some people light candles, others use a high-velocity fan to quash any potential disturbances. I like the high-velocity fans. And here with us today, L., how do you get inspired to write? Do you use candles, use a fan, or you just go ahead and just dig in?
I usually just have to sit down and do it. A lot of times I will read what I wrote the day before or the last time, because sometimes I don't get to write every day a lot of times, so I'll read what I wrote in my previous session, whether it was 2 days ago or 2 weeks ago.
That's a good idea.
So that I know where I'm at. And usually when I get finished writing for whatever session I'm writing, I kind of have a plan for my next session, so I know where I'm going. Because I'm a planner, I don't fly by the seat of my pants. I have friends who just sit down and write a book, and they don't ever plan any of it. And I'm amazed by that ability, because I have to plan and plot where I'm going. I don't plan every little thing, but I do know what's going to happen in each scene.
So
that I, you know, so I'm prepared for the next scene, so I know what's coming up.
Sure.
And I don't write very fast. So I sit down and I read through my stuff and I turn my phone to do not disturb and I write. And that's how I prepare.
Okay.
If I spend a lot of time with rituals, then I get kind of caught up in the ritual thing and and then it distracts me from my goal.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
I just sit down and write.
Oh, okay. And maybe I like writing stories so much because of the magic that's in a library and having almost grown up in a library, being surrounded by books. They take us into lands where we can relate, and other lands so very different from what we know and live. And what do you like most about writing, Elle?
Oh, the characters. Characters are my favorite thing about writing. I love to create characters and give them a backstory and give them trauma and ways to heal and personalities and a voice. And probably one of my stronger assets as a writer is probably voice and dialogue and character development. And whereas setting, which is the other element of all writing, and your setting is a character, really. I'm not as good at that. So I have to go back a lot and add that in, because I do get caught up in my characters and forget to put a lot of setting in to my first drafts.
Well, that's interesting.
But characters are my are my favorite part of writing, and I really enjoy that.
Well, you do an amazing job with the characters,
yeah.
too.
Thank you.
I've got your first book here, Elle's first book, Elle Stevens, uh-huh. Stand in the Sun. And I've read it before, but I was reading it again, and it is just, I don't know, it's just great. And I love the way you start out. I mean, first of all, on the first page, I'd meet this one guy, and Mom would leave me alone. I was like, oh, right away, I was intrigued. So I love the way you started it out. It talks about living in a small town, which I think everybody listening can relate to. And then I love how several pages in, you talk about when people live in cities, nobody paid attention to anything you did. You could skip down the streets of Chicago in a chicken suit singing, Pop Goes the Weasel, and people would pass you by without batting an eye. And that's true. I mean, it's just in a small town, it's just different.
Yeah, and it is. Everybody in a small town knows you, right? Or knows somebody who knows you, or knows your family, or is familiar with you in some way. And if they aren't, they'll still have an opinion a lot of times.
We're the one to relate.
People just don't care. Yeah, it's easy to disappear in the city. So yeah, I like to write small towns because I grew up in a small town, and I've always, for the most part, lived in a small town, and so that's what I relate to. I like to write small town stories.
Well, and in this book, Stand in the Sun, main character Lexi Cartwright has managed her social anxiety just fine since leaving her small hometown. But when she loses her job and moves back in with her mother, she finds everything's the same, same gossip, same panic-inducing people, and she meets smart, handsome Simon Barnes again. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that was so intriguing.
Lexi is, kind of a wallflower and very self-conscious and has a lot of anxiety about dealing with other people and feels kind of like she's always in the center of attention, and that it makes her want to hide. You know, she's very self-conscious about herself and her place in the world. And Simon was a classmate in high school, and that was who she had a crush on all growing up. They grew up together. They knew each other. Their moms worked together. I mean, they knew each other, but she had the biggest crush on him, and then she gets set up on a blind date, and it's him, and she decides it. She's going to go on this blind date to make her mom leave her alone, and then the blind date is her high school crush, and that as you can imagine is quite panic inducing for her.
I know. I love the way you put. Oh my gosh, this book, people listening, you've got to read Stand in the Sun. It is just the way it's so eloquent and so immersive, and I'm serious when I say I could not put it down. I wanted to read one part about that bathroom scene, which is amazing. I was telling my husband about it. Quick question. Is husband Brian a part of Simon, or a little part, or not really? Maybe.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
A little bit. Yeah. Maybe okay. A little bit. They don't look anything alike, and they're not identical by any means, but they do have a lot of similar qualities.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was wondering how you got that. Now, I've got to read this one little part about the bathroom scene. So, people listening, you've got to hear this. Like, Lexi, the main character that Elle, our author here, was just telling us about, she goes into this building to meet up with him, but she's panicking, and she doesn't know she wants to go on this date, so she goes into the ladies' room, which we all do. But anyway, it cracks me up the way it talks about, I think I've got to escape and not do this date. I think maybe I can get up to that window if I stand on the garbage can, or should I stand on the toilet seat? No, the toilet seat's not tall enough. And just the language and just everything that goes on in there. And she actually almost does it. She almost gets to the window. And I don't know if I want to give away the whole thing, but What happens after that is just, oh my gosh, I'll probably have to read that again.
Let's be self-deprecating, and but she's got quite a sense of humor, and I mean that's a very serious thing to have that much social anxiety you're willing to climb on a trash can and out of a window to get away from somebody, and so that's debilitating. She has a lot of a sense of humor and a lot of qualities that she doesn't really realize she has.
So. Yeah, and I totally didn't mean to make at all, because, I mean, get anxiety.
No.
But I just, that you wrote it, and just, there was humor in it, because, like you said, she was self, you know, describing and thinking, oh my gosh, I do not want to go on this date. Please, is there anything I can do?
Right.
And whether or not she goes, you all have to read the book, and that's all I'm going to say, because it's really something you've got to read. And, wow. Well, we are also in a few moments going to talk about your second book. Do you want to tell us just a quick tease about, the second one is called Long After Dark, and it's book two, and it's about this woman who proves that she can hold her own. It's also very engaging. We've got a couple moments if you want to give a little taste of it.
Well, Gus Matheson is a girl who grew up in a family of auto body repairmen and mechanics, and so she grew up in a man's world. And growing up in a man's world, you are always trying to prove yourself, right? You always have to prove that you can hold your own, and you can do everything that a man can do. And Gus has a lot of roadblocks in her way, and lots of scars, and lots of damage caused by men that she has to undo. That so she inherits an auto body shop from her grandfather, and has to try and make it work. And it's not exactly easy. So.
No, it isn't. I remember reading that one, too.
And
that one's great. And Gus, it's a girl. It's Augustina, and that's how you got Gus. But, also want to hear more about that one. I want to hear about the third one that you're writing right now. And so it's just so interesting. Elle is a great writer. These characters feel so real that you can't help but take part in their lives when reading her books. We're going to hear more about that and where to get these books and get a sneak peek into book three right after this. Have you ever wondered what it takes to write a novel? Well, how about two or three of them? I'm Amy Hadachek on the front porch with our guest today, author Elle Stevens from North Central Kansas. And Elle, this is so interesting. These are true grit down-home characters with intensely detailed descriptions that make us feel that we know your book characters. Where can we get your books?
My books are available on Amazon as print books. Kindle and other digital copies are available from Kobo, Kindle, Nook, all of the e-readers. I have my e-books on all the all different venues for that. But the print books are just available on Amazon.
Okay. And is there a website, or you're working on one right now?
I do have a website. It's www.ellestevens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, author.com.
Oh, great. Okay, I know I need to get a couple more, because I've read book one and book two, but I had to buy a second one. They are so interesting. And now the cover photo on book two that has Gus that we were talking about, which is really Augustina, but you call her Gus for short. Are those real people? That's interesting to me, the cover photos. They look real.
Yeah. I do design my covers. I have a little bit of a background in graphic design, and I really enjoy that aspect of it, and I'm a little bit particular, so I design my own covers.
That's awesome.
And those are royalty-free photos that I purchased for the purpose of making book covers. So it is a photograph that I have made edits to make it look the way it looks as far as filters and different graphic designy things. But it's a photo of real models. And Stand in the Sun is also a photo. It's got a little more, I did a little more to that one to make it look the way it is, but it was a photo as well.
And your books are, the first one that I've been quoting here, this is called Stand in the Sun. It's by L. Stevens, and L is E-L-L-E, and Stevens is S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S. And then the second one is called?
The second one is called Long After Dark.
And the third one, we don't know yet because it's in progress.
It's in progress, and I don't name my books until they're completed. I give them a little working title in my files, but I don't actually give them a name because I tend to change it several times. So I don't even title them until I have them completely finished and ready for like covers and final edits. So and it's still in progress. It's not completed yet, which is why I don't have a solid release date for you, but. The third book is about Gus Matheson in Long After Dark. She has a twin brother, and he's makes quite a few appearances in her book, Long After Dark. And so now he gets his own book and his own story.
Oh, so, cool. Well, that'll be really interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the Stanford Daily, the newspaper at Stanford University in California, I was reading that a reporter wrote, inspiration can be found in the most unexpected places at the most unexpected times. And do you find that, too, being inspired to write? And also that sometimes it's okay not to be writing 24/7, just to take breaks and get inspired again?
Yes. So I've mentioned I write small towns. Stories, and I really like characters, and interesting people are everywhere. So while living in a small town can seem kind of boring to some people, people everywhere are interesting and have interesting stories and interesting personalities, interesting traits and ways of speaking and thought processes, and I get all kinds of snippets of things that I want to take with me and put into books. But and it is absolutely necessary not to write 24/7. You will burn yourself out quickly.
Oh, but, I can imagine.
So I try to keep it pretty structured so that I don't do that. Also, I do not write very quickly. Some people write very fast, and I admire them. But I am very calculating. I think when I write, I think about a little too much, and I'm very particular about wording and what my characters are doing and editing. I'm very particular about all of that, and so I don't produce books very quickly, and which is unfortunate, but it is something I've just accepted is the way I do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And acceptance is good, but the way you write is fabulous. So it's having to wait a little longer, and we'll wait for that third book too. Now, in an agriculture community, you had some ag influences in there, because I know in Stand in the Sun, book one, I thought it was really fascinating that you had a story about a local fair, a fundraiser, and everyone was gathering things, and that reminds me of events that we have in north central Kansas.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a small agricultural town, and my books take place in Kansas, so it's kind of hard to completely avoid agricultural references or themes. And my husband and I we farm. And my father was the manager of a co-op of an elevator my whole life. And so agriculture is kind of a big part of my life, one way or another. It's all around us.
Sure.
So I haven't read anything that was agriculturally immersed. I'm sure there are references to ag stuff I don't even realize I put in there. So, because it's just kind of all around us and part of our lives. So.
Sure, part of the lifestyle. Yeah, and
yeah,
it was really interesting. And so now, does Brian help? Does he get to provide input, or husband Brian, or read a chapter or two ahead of time, or
sure. Brian is very, very supportive. When I published my first book, he waited till it was available. And the minute that it was available online, he bought it so that he could say he bought the first copy.
Aww, that's
but,
so sweet.
But he is not. Yes, it was very sweet and very thoughtful. And I really was very touching. And I think a lot of him, he's the love of my life, but he does not read.
Okay.
He's not a reader. So he's not actually read them. And people ask him all the time. He's like, I haven't read them. But he is very, very supportive. And he's always encouraging. And when I want to go to conferences or, you know, go do things that help inspire my writing, he's always very on board with that. So.
Aww.
That's very helpful.
Now, yeah. What about hobbies? Do you get time? I know that I read that you like to do nature photography, painting, and baking, although I don't know, right now with the third book, I'm impressed that you're writing,
yeah.
Period. But how do you get to do all that, or is that going to wait?
Yeah, it kind of has to wait. A lot of times I do have a lot of hobbies that I don't get to do, but I have very busy teenagers, and we have a thriving business, and I do have to put those things first. So a lot of times those come first, and then the writing comes second, and then hobbies, you know, come after that. I like to crochet and do a lot of needlework, and I can do those in the evening when I'm relaxing. So those kind of fill my creativity well. But I like to bake, and I like to garden, and I grew up around, my mom and my sister are artists, and I grew up in an artist art central, you know, family and environment. And so I like to paint sometimes. I'm not particularly good at it, but I like to do it, and it makes me feel good. So, and I do love photography. So those are all hobbies I try to do whenever I have a little bit of time to do them. But yeah, you know, you kind of have to prioritize things, and someday my children will be out of the house and we'll be empty nesters, and I can focus on some of those things.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's interesting, and I know that people close to you, Elle, get the benefit of your friendship, your loyalty. They can feel your creativity, and they could be the recipient of gifts from the heart. We're going to explain about that right after this. What a great time we're having on the front porch today. Amy had a check with author Elle Stevens from North Central Kansas, and it's really exciting to have an author from North Central Kansas here with us. Besides being a gifted writer, Elle loves giving gifts and believes the best ones come from the heart. And Elle, just tell us about some of those creative gifts you've given or are thinking about giving.
I like to give thoughtful gifts and homemade gifts. And I give a lot of slippers I crochet and jelly I make. And,
oh, wow.
Sometimes I bake something and take it to a friend. Those are kinds of things that I think mean a lot more than just something you go buy on Amazon. Not that I don't ever buy my friends or family, you know, commercial produced gifts, because I do, but I think the most important part of gift giving is to think about the person that you're giving the gift to and what means a lot to them, and I'm not very good at practical gifts. So what will make them feel good? And that's what I think gifts are for. So, I try to think about that when I give gifts,
yeah.
But I do crochet a lot of slippers and those kinds of things that I give away, and they're very popular. Everybody likes them. So.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. You know, instead of what we think somebody wants, what we think they would really like and enjoy, you know.
Yeah.
And So what's your best advice for others trying to get started writing a book? Would there be anything that you would say or just dig in?
Oh, yeah. It is a journey. So make sure that you are prepared for the journey and don't get discouraged when you hit roadblocks. I spent 6 years writing my first novel, which is not Stand in the Sun. Stand in the Sun is actually the third novel I ever wrote. I wrote two fantasy novels, part of a series. I spent 5 years learning by writing those. Sent them to publishers. I got rejections. And I got all feedback. I got requests to revise and resubmit. And I learned a lot of stuff. I went to conferences to learn about the business. I practiced. I talked to a lot of other writers. I had to network a little bit, which is a lot out of my comfort zone. So you have to be prepared to fail. I think in anything that you want to be successful in, you have to be prepared to fail and to learn from the failure and not be discouraged. Mm-hmm. So it's very important, especially in writing, to realize that it is a business. It's not just the art, and people get really caught up in the fact that this is their art, their creation. It's very close and near to their heart, but it is also something that you have to sell. So you do have to make some concessions sometimes. It doesn't mean you have to change your voice or cut things that you feel are very important to what you're trying to say. It just means that you have to be prepared to accommodate your readers mm-hmm. a little bit also. So it's a big learning process, and you have to do it to fully know how much there is to it. And it takes a lot of patience and a lot of being willing to screw up. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a learning curve, but it is a journey that's worth it if you really love what you do. It's always worth it.
And we can tell you love what you do. I like how your characters get to say what's really on their mind. It's cathartic. It's therapeutic. They share strong emotions, which others can really relate. And everybody has feelings, emotions. I think anybody has had anxiety at some point, and they can read it. And I love the way some of the things you say, for instance, in Stand in the Sun, I'm back to that book. And I like that it was kind of funny the way you said somebody came up to you and just, or Lexi, the character in the book, and she started hugging you and squeezing you, and she bear hugged me, pinning my arms down to my sides. And just the way you said it, it was just one sentence, but I could just visualize it. Later on in the chapter, you said, "What do you do to relax?" Somebody asked you, and you said, "You assume I relax?" And that was funny, too.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed, just everything. I just really could not put the book down. And again, that was Stand in the Sun, the first one, but the second one's great,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and then how hard is it to find a publisher or an agent or publish things yourself, or how does that work?
So I have attempted both. I attempted to find a publisher. When I first started writing, I thought, there's no way. I do not feel qualified to manage all of that. Because if you are self-published, you are in charge of everything. I mean, you are the publisher, which means that the responsibility and liability of everything falls to you. You have to design the cover or pay to have the cover designed. You have to pay for the editing. You have to organize the media and the marketing. And you have to do all of that stuff if you are your own publisher. Mm. So when I first started, I was not prepared to do that. So I did not feel qualified. I just wanted to write. And so I wrote my first book. It took me a long time, and I submitted it to a lot of publishers. I didn't always get negative feedback. I got positive feedback too, but it just was something that now I look back at it and I see why it didn't sell. But it was just something that I had to do to learn all of that. And then I kept learning. And as I got through all of that and I decided this, I needed to put this book aside. And I sat down and I said, what am I going to write? Because this is not working. And I just started writing something completely different than what I normally wrote, which is Stand in the Sun. I wrote in first person. I'd never written in first person. I wrote contemporary romance, which I normally don't write. It's actually in the women's fiction category because it's about, you know, women's growth and empowerment. And so I decided at that point that I thought that I could do this publishing gig. And I started my own publishing company.
That's amazing, too.
Yeah. So West Creek Publishing is actually my own publishing company, and that's who I publish my books through. If I felt like it, I could, or somebody wanted me, you know, I wanted to do it for someone else, you know, and publish for, I could.
You could, that's good.
I have not felt that way yet or been approached to do such a thing, but I do all my cover art, and I pay for editing, and then I do a lot of the editing myself, but I do pay for someone to go through my books besides me because we don't always see our own mistakes. Or content problems. I find other people to read for content, not necessarily editors, but just to make sure the story makes sense and it's entertaining and that the character is relatable and those kinds of things. And so I do all of that myself because I am self-published. But to find a publisher is very hard. There are roughly 4,000 or 5,000 books published on Amazon every day. That's a lot of books, and you can imagine how many manuscripts get sent to publishers, especially the big 5 or 10 or however many there are now, to go through. And you know, if they start reading your manuscript and it doesn't grab them in the first page or two, it doesn't make the cut. You know, it doesn't go any farther. So
it's got to catch them right off the bat, pretty much.
It's got to catch them right off the bat. Okay. And that is a big mistake that most first-time authors make, you know, is not starting their story in the right place. But that's a whole other show, probably.
Yeah.
Publishing is a rough gig. So, but if you're going to self-publish, you have to be prepared to do it. And do everything and you know, do it to the way that you, which is nice in some ways because I have creative control. Nobody tells me what I can title my book or what, you know, cover is going to look like or any of that. But I'm also responsible for making sure it all gets done.
Everything. So. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. We have actually 1 minute left. I cannot believe fast this time has gone. I know it would be wonderful to have a book signing eventually when you want to do that. I know COVID was happening when you first published the first book and also the second one. But when you do, please let us know because we would absolutely love to let everyone know about a book.
Wonderful. Yeah, absolutely.
And then last question, 30 seconds or less, I was going to ask you, any future goal besides finishing the third book? Anything else after that?
Oh yeah, just keep writing. I intend to keep publishing books until I can't. So, and as my kids get older, I'll have more time to write more books. So that'll be helpful. And I just never want to stop. So.
Oh gosh, and maybe we'll hear more about Gus, and maybe there'll even be a sequel to Stand in the Sun, and get to hear about that too. And. Oh, gosh. Well, this has been so interesting, Elle. I really appreciate you today taking the time. And
thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Oh, you're welcome. And so a huge thank you to author Elle Stevens from North Central Kansas. I'm Amy Hadachek. I hope you've enjoyed today. I have immensely. And again, her book, Stand in the Sun, is the first one. And get that one or the second one, and then we'll wait for the third. Everyone, have a great day.